Saturday Magazine, sponsored by Velocity Rewards,
the award-winning loyalty program for Virgin Australia's frequent flyers.
Hey, you. Yeah, you, on the job site. Did you know that over half of the people who listen to Joy are allies of the LGBTIQ plus community, just like you? So you may not be aware, times are very tough financially at Joy, and we're reaching out for your support. So tell your workmates, your next door neighbour, and even your mum, to head over to joy.org.au and help us build Joy Nation by making a donation. Joy, your voice, your radio station.
Across Melbourne on Joy 94.9 and streaming online at joy.org.au, you're listening to Saturday Magazine, every Saturday, 10 till 12.
Saturday Magazine, radio made by us, for us. I'm Macca. Here's Tass.
Thanks a lot, Macca. We're going to be speaking with Catherine Dixon, who's really the CEO of the Victorian Equal Opportunity and Human Rights Commission, although I think her correct title is Executive Director. Good morning, Catherine.
Hi, Tass. How are you?
Good, good. Did I get your title right?
Yes, you did, and the title of the commission right as well. As you know, it's a bit of a mouthful.
And I always get that wrong. You are quite right.
You nailed it this morning, though. Well done, Tass.
Great to have you back on the airwaves. It's been some time since we've spoken to you, so it's really good that you've been able to make some time available for us.
Thanks, Catherine, for having me.
Catherine, I understand that the Commission has been recently presenting to Parliamentary Public Accounts and Estimates Committee around the government's response to the ongoing protection of human rights related to COVID-19. Can you just tell us a little bit more about that?
Sure, Tass, and hi, Macca, as
G'day.
Well. Yes, our Commissioner, Kristen Hilton, and myself and the head of our legal and dispute resolution team, Emily Howie, appeared before the Public Accounts and Estimates Committee this week, and our focus was really to talk about the principles that we've put forward as the human rights approach that the government should be taking in the way in which it's responding to the pandemic, and certainly the principles that we've used in the way in which we've gone about monitoring human rights issues during this time. And we also highlighted some of the areas where we'd been concerned about human rights issues, I suppose, and I guess a bit of a way forward as we hopefully start to think about recovery.
So you've identified a number of principles. Yeah. Can you just quickly go through those for us?
Yes, yeah, sure. Really, our human rights approach, I suppose, is really critical during this time because, of course, the government's trying to make, you know, critical and is making critical decisions to protect people's health and their lives and their safety and livelihood. But there's also really far-reaching limitations on individual rights as well. You know, our ability to move around and leave our houses, our ability to work, being able to associate together, to see families, to send kids to schools. I mean, they're very significant social, health and economic impacts. And so the principles that we've put forward are that government decision makers have to be able to justify actions that limit people's rights. They have to be necessary and proportionate. They should be time-bound. They've obviously got to be, you know, lawful. That transparency is a really key principle, and that there needs to be a high level of scrutiny of the government's response to COVID, particularly just given the significant limitations on rights. And we've also said, Tass and Macca, that for the groups in our society that we know are being impacted on the most, that there needs to be additional safeguards and supports for them as well.
Catherine, it's Macca. Do you think, look, bearing in mind we've been in this situation now for, you know, 7 months, coming up to 8 months, and this is going to go on for a long time in one degree
more
or
like
another.
6 months?
Yeah. Okay. It just feels like longer.
It does.
That's going to go on for a long time, Catherine. First question is, do you think the government has got the balance right? And, yeah, so perhaps give us your thoughts on that, because it's a pretty difficult balance, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a really difficult balance. And when we spoke to the Public Accounts and Estimates Committee, I mean, we were sort of highlighting, I guess, some of those high-risk environments, for example, where, you know, it's really close to impossible to socially isolate, or where individuals are really dependent on the care of others. So, you know, public housing contexts and aged care facilities and disability care homes and, you know, juvenile justice centres and prisons. We've spent some time particularly looking at the public housing and and the corrections environment, but we were concerned, for example, about the really significant restrictions in relation to the public housing towers at Flemington and North Melbourne, and we worked quite closely with residents on the ground there and community groups. And there was a sense that at that time that the decision was made quickly to go into that hard lockdown, that there wasn't consultation with the community in advance, there wasn't an opportunity for the community to at least initially lead the solutions to that lockdown, and then there were some really significant issues around access to fresh air, adequate, you know, and appropriate food, the ability to get outside and exercise, medical care that people needed not being provided. So, look, this is now the basis of an ombudsman's inquiry, which we've contributed to. But these are the sorts of, I suppose, issues where you just want to make sure we're learning the lessons as we go forward with this pandemic. But there's a number of examples, I suppose, like that we could talk through where you think, has the balance been right? You know, we've certainly worked with a lot of public servants that are absolutely doing their best during this time, but that doesn't mean we can't do better.
So what's your assessment? I mean, you know, you must have formed a view about where we're sitting with all of that at the moment.
Well, I mean, I think that, you know, it's easy to, you know, we don't want to be, you know, just critical from the sidelines. We've sort of tried to roll up our sleeves and tried to sort of support, you know, the different government, you know, the decision makers that are trying to actually on the ground balance rights, and we've tried to provide, you know, frameworks for them. You know, for example, with the lockdown, we did a sheet that explained, well, what rights do you have even in a hard lockdown? And yes, that was for the residents, but it was also really helpful for the police, and it was helpful for the department. So I think it depends on, you know, where you're sort of looking. For example, we came out quite strongly and said, look, when it comes to face masks, we think that that isn't a breach of human rights, and that there is a good public health basis for wearing face masks. And, you know, there's some exceptions that are necessary. For example, if you've got a medical condition that affects your ability to wear a mask, that might make it difficult for you to breathe, or a skin condition or some other kind of health condition. And there are obviously exceptions, you know, when people are jogging and that sort of thing. But, you know, that's an example where we came out and said, well, we think the balance is right. But the public housing context is one where we had concerns, and we made those concerns known. So, you know, it depends on the context and the issue.
Can I ask Catherine a slight segue here? So the work of the Commission is really important in these times. How is the Commission, you know, so if I want the Commission to look at an issue on my behalf, how does the Commission now, you know, have hearings? How does it conduct its work?
Yeah, thanks for that question. We, like most organisations, since the pandemic started, have had to redesign our services, really, in order for our staff to work from home. And so we are still providing an information service, an education service, a conciliation service. We're doing all of our research work, but we've had to adapt and redesign in order to really make ourselves as accessible as possible while our own staff are working from home. But so all of that is still taking place, and we can still conduct investigations when it comes to systemic discrimination matters. And as I've said before, the impacts of this pandemic are impacting on people who are already experiencing inequality in our community and disadvantage. And so all of those powers are still at hand for us to exercise, and we've been doing that. We haven't launched any investigation, but we did contribute to the Ombudsman's investigation into the public housing lockdown. What we've really been focusing on is getting information out there to people so they can understand what rights they do have, how rights can be limited during a time like this, what is proportionate and reasonable, and the kinds of issues that people ought to be sort of thinking about and worrying about. We've tried to be on the front foot in leading those conversations, and particularly for communities that aren't getting access to information as quickly as they need to. So, for example, a lot of the multicultural and multi-faith communities, we've tried to make sure things are translated for them so that they do have information, that they can come to us, ask questions about their rights. You know, for example, we've been very concerned about increased racism during this time.
Yes.
And particularly from people from Chinese or East Asian backgrounds that are being particularly targeted, you know, in public transport, in supermarkets, just because of fear and anxiety that people have around COVID, and you know, sort of wanting to blame people from a particular race, you know. And so we've really tried to reach out to those communities through education sessions, and through translated material to let them know they can come to us. So those sorts of things we've been focused on, including education sessions about people's rights. We've also tried to shine a
Catherine,
bit of a
spotlight. Catherine, we're almost out of time, unfortunately.
No problem.
Are going to have to break for the news, unfortunately. It will be a hard break. But just quickly, there was a criticism made by the leader of the opposition in the upper house, David Davis, earlier on, that perhaps there isn't adequate reporting and transparency of information. Are you able to say whether you agree with that or not?
Well, the committee you appeared for, do you think that's a good process?
Look, it's really important to have parliamentary scrutiny. With the emergency powers, the government is meant to be, under the Public Health and Wellbeing Act, responding sort of every month in relation to the use of those powers. But if Parliament doesn't sit, then that usual scrutiny mechanism doesn't happen. So I think the Public Accounts and Estimates Committee is an important process. Yeah. There's been calls for there to be a more independent committee, and I think that's worth thinking about. But it's also important to have other scrutiny mechanisms, like, you know, the investigations that are going on at the moment into a range of things, whether it's hotel quarantine or coronial investigations or ombudsman's investigations. They're all important for transparency.
Good on you, Catherine. Thank you very much.
And you're one of the few people we'll allow to make our news late. Thank you.
Thank you both.
Thanks a lot, Catherine.
Thanks, Catherine.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Saturday Magazine is proudly sponsored by Velocity Rewards, the loyalty program of Virgin Australia.